For into the tabernacle we do come, Abba. We bow down at your feet to worship you, and to thank you for all things. As we consider your magnificent work and creation of all things, we do bless you and thank you. We rejoice in the inward parts, knowing that this day you have created, you have given us direction and light in this day, in the midst of a darkened generation, generation that cannot discern, has no ability to judge, has no understanding of the righteous Torah of Yahweh. For you declare that this generation, and we are in it, that a wise man, that he understands both time and judgment. He can sense, discern. He knows the hand of Yahweh. But a wicked and foolish generation will do wickedly. They shall not understand, nor discern the judgment of Yahweh. And they will continue to strive for masteries that are vain and fruitless. There is no desire, no hearts for the pure things of Yahweh. They will restrain themselves from any kind of true judgment, instruction, and correction. But we bless you this evening as we come into this tabernacle to worship you and to bless you. For my heart delights in you and rejoice for your many blessings and for life and for the strength of life that you have granted unto us all this day here in this tabernacle, those around the world in different locations, other nations, places whereby only the power of your light shine through with a small glimmer, and the heart of your people there desire to hear and to know. So we pray for them, those that are in Barbados, those around the nations of the world, in Haiti, great sufferings and afflictions there, in China and Russia, throughout Europe and India, as Pastor Babu there with the precious Kiddushams there. Bless him, I pray. Those on the continent of Africa, we pray for Elder Martin in Kenya with the brothers and sisters there. We bless you tonight, Yahweh, as we ask your anointing and your blessings to rest upon the house of Israel. We pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. For you declare that those that bless Jerusalem, they shall prosper. And we will bless Jerusalem as we bless you, Yahweh. Bless those that listen tonight by the live stream. We pray for Sister Tucker, her strength, the children. Brother Ron Tucker, that you give him direction and instructions. We ask your anointing to rest upon Brother Michael, precious man of Yahweh, his wife, Michael, and Alex. We pray for them, Yahweh, for the tenderness of their heart, their kindness, and their gifts of love unto you, our Abba. We ask you to enrich their home even in a mighty way and bless them profoundly. As we ask you to strengthen Brother Heath and his wife and children there in Pickering, Canada. I do pray for Brother and Sister Morgan, Brother Patrick. Bless him, I pray, and strengthen the young man in a mighty way and strengthen his heart. Cause his heart to be encouraged this night. Brother Jerry and his wife there in Dallas, Texas. Brother Nathan and his home there in Houston, Texas. We pray for them to strengthen them. We pray for our enemies and we bless you for them. We pray for all the men of your way, that you bless the men with great strength and courage to preach and to declare the profoundness of your truth without compromising, without being fearful of the opposition of darkness. But bless them, I pray, and strengthen them. Touch everybody that needs healing, for your healing power is great. Again, I remind you, my Abba, of Brother and Sister Morgan, their child, that you touch their child. Your healing power is sufficient, for there is no one that is as great as you, Yahweh. For you made us marvelously. You are the healer of your people. As humble as you declared, he sent forth the words, and they were healed. We trust you tonight. Touch everybody here. Those that have snifflings and fevers or cold, heal them, I pray. Touch your people around the world. Cause the heart of the poor to be encouraged, the downtrodden to be lifted up, and to be strengthened. I rejoice tonight, Yahweh. I do praise you for all things, for you are mighty, and your strength is everlasting, and it is the enduring power of all the people of Yahweh. Keep us all this night, we do ask, in the precious hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, Lamb of Israel. We do bless you and we thank you. And all the generation cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Come on, lift your hands in Shabbat. Come on in, Shabbat, I'll greet you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
way. Hallelujah, way.
For all things, we do bless you this midweek. As you have brought us through another day, we thank you. We pray that you will bless your word tonight and your manservant to give him the unction to speak with great clarity and understanding. Bless every heart to hear, every ear to hear. Bless the receiver as we hear from the Shemayam of our Abba. We bless you, y'all, and we thank you for all things. In the only precious name of hope, that is Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We bless you, our Abba, and we thank you. And all the Jerusalem cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say to them, it's good to see you again. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated. What a great hour, what a great time that Yahweh has granted a people to experience in this hour that we're in. It's a mindset and a generation that has turned its heart toward those things that are full of deception, because the powers of darkness are working in a tremendous way today. It's a generation that has very little ability to understand and to hear. This is not a generation that can perceive. This is a generation that cannot be taught. This is a generation that is unteachable. It cannot be taught the principles, the limitations, the ordinance of Yahweh. There is not a mind to receive the wisdom, the profound revelation of Yahweh today. That is why when one is truly converted, when there is a radical change, one takes upon the mind of HaMashiach, because he did all things to please his Abba. Generation that is doing all things to please its flesh. It's a generation that is gross with fleshly concupiscence, desires and lusts that are off the spectrum today. There is no limitation. There's nothing that controls it at all. And so what Yahweh says to his house, he gives them statutes or limitations. He gives them restraints. And he tells his house, do not go beyond the limitation of that prescribed mythology that I have ordained. It has nothing to do with what you or I perceive that is good or wholesome. This is what he instructs us in by his profound wisdom. Now, who can match the wisdom of Yahweh? Who thinks on the same parallel that Yahweh thinks on? Who has the understanding that Yahweh has? Not any creature or anything, or nor any God that is on the face of the earth today. And so what he always says to a house, his people, there are certain principles that must be zaha or taught. And because of our vernacular and our understanding of things, we do not search things out to its fullest. It is a generation that the mind is very lazy. It doesn't like to be taxed at all. We become very perturbed and very angry when we are taxed beyond what this thing here tells us, that is the limitation. We will not go beyond that because it takes a certain amount of energy and effort. It takes a certain amount of discipline. And so the powers that be are aware of that. So this is a generation that is so dumbed down that it doesn't realize that it is dumb. It doesn't realize that it possesses no essential qualities or power to resist the forces of hell. It is not a wise generation that understands the judgment of Yahweh, because it doesn't realize what the judgment does. It brings about a correction. Now, when you are judged, you become very despondent, very hostile. You treat one another with great indifference. He always says, I come to correct you and to refine you with judgment. Now, we resist that of Yahweh. Now, how does he base those judgments upon what criteria? Is there something laid out that he bases judgment upon? Sure it is. Well, how do we get to that understanding of those principles? It begins with teaching, and we must be taught. We must be taught, and our conception of what being taught is, or someone teach you, we think that it is some kind of platform that one takes. And then they began with some kind of orator skills, began to speak in a broad spectrum as to what they are trying to convey to you. But that's not so. That is not what it means. It has many connotations, and the meaning that we associate with being taught because of our vernacular and our inability to understand things, we have no understanding as to what it really means. It is to take a forthright hand of authority and to do with rebuke and warning, with discipline, to show you your limitations, to show you what is correct and right. When a parent teaches a child, there are times that they must discipline them. There are times that they must reprimand them. There are times that they must correct them very forcefully. And that is what the teaching of Yahweh does. It warns us. It causes the power of His light to emanate or to shine from us. Now, when we are taught the principles of Yahweh's truth, and when it deals with the very motive and the intent of our heart, we become very dull. Because we resist Yahweh showing us those things in us that are very corrupt and that are very vile. And it doesn't produce any kind of fruit at all, because we are continuously in the same doldrum, a state of mind that we were 6 months ago. And so the teaching of Yahweh doesn't break the veneer of your carnal mind. It doesn't shatter that enmity or that thing that despise Yahweh. And so we show what's actually in us because what teaching does, it causes us to emanate. When a child is being taught and the child gets understanding of it, you will watch the child respond. They respond with excitement. They respond with a gladness. They respond with a great euphoric because they understand that discipline or the principle and it excites them. When Yahweh teaches us His principles, His statutes, we become very discombobulated. I don't like that. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, we better hear what Yahweh speaks today. Because if you do not, then woe unto you. And we must begin with the limitations or the statutes of Yahweh to understand what He is trying to convey or get across to us. The law teaches us that in the natural realm, doesn't it? We go out here, drive on the highways. It says on 151, it's 55 in a certain area. And then it goes up to 60 miles an hour. So we must constantly be cognate or aware of the changing of the law or the statutes or the limitations. Now you cannot go out here and do 95 in a 55 speed zone. You may do it, but there are consequences if you are caught. So it is with Yahweh. And that is why it begins with the Zohar or the teachings, the instructions of Almighty Yahweh, and they must be taught unto us. A child can never understand the principles or the disciplines of life unless you teach them. That's why you must train them up as little babes. And so what Yahweh does, He gives us, you that are babes that are sincere in your desire, He gives you the sincere drink of the milk of truth. When you become mature and older, you begin to age, the wisdom and the principles of Yahweh are applied to your life, then you desire the strong meat. You take on a different dimension. You take on a different mindset. You take on a different kind of understanding. But as a child, you take upon that kind of mentality. And as Yahweh raised up Moshe, and He did that, it was not because of Pharaoh, it was the chosen one that Yahweh had chosen and ordained for the purpose to teach, to instruct, to warn, to reprove. As I did research on that word teaching, because Yahweh spoke that word to my heart of the day, to teach my people, it has more than the connotation to dispense knowledge. It is to warn. It is to cause the light and the truth of Yahweh to shine. And when His truth doesn't shine from your life, when there is not a gleaming glow of Yahweh in you, then you are not receptive to the teaching of Yahweh. And so your countenance, your expression is very dull. There is no life at all in you. And so as Yahweh raised up Moshe, and He gave him a father-in-law, a father-in-law, Jethro, he was a very knowledgeable man. He was a man of great strength, understanding, and of the priestlyhood of Yahweh. And as he saw the great responsibilities that Yahweh had placed upon Moshe, he instructed him. And I want to show you what it says. It says in Shemoth, in Exodus chapter 18, Yithru, as he counsels Moshe. It is amazing how that we resist counsel, don't we? But yet in the multitudes of counselors, there's safety. The warnings bring safety. Teaching brings safety. When a parent teaches a child not to do a thing, is there warning there? Do they speak forcefully? Do they command children? Now that is what the teaching of Yahweh is, not this vile thing that these Copelands and Hens, Richard Roberts called teaching. That is not what Yahweh teaches. I want to read from Scripture. He says in Shemoth 18 verse 13. Scripture says, "And it came to pass on the next day that Moshe, he sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moshe from morning to evening." Now, why did he have to do that? Because they did not know. They were ignorant. They did not understand the principles of Yahweh. They were a people that had been embellished in paganism, like we all have, in our Christianity doctrines, in our pagan rituals, in our television watching that twisted our minds and distorted our concepts with fictitious lies. And so he was dealing with the people that did not know. They did not have the understanding. They could not judge the little small matters. And that is persistent today. One cannot judge when they're wrong. And I'm talking to you. You cannot judge when your deeds and your actions are wrong. When your attitude is wrong. When your actions are wrong. When your words are wrong and they are not seasoned. This is this generation. You can't even discern that. You can't even judge that. You can't even make a righteous judgment upon that. And so Yahweh said, he sets Moshe in the midst to make the distinction between what is right and wrong. Now listen. And when Moshe, a father-in-law, saw all that he did for the people, he said, "Moshe, what is this thing that you do for all the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand by you from morning to evening?" And Moshe said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of Yahweh. They come to seek the revelation truth, or what is right and appropriate to do before Yahweh. And they inquire, or they ask me of these things. When they have a matter, they come to me and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes." Now, what is a statute? What is Moshe dealing with here? Well, there are prescribed boundaries of Yahweh. There are limitations of Yahweh. And so what he says, I let them understand, or I teach them, I show them Yahweh's limitations. You must understand, in the carnal logic, there is no limitations. Can you imagine some of the things that you have thought in your natural mind? And some of the thoughts that you have actually allowed to take hold of you, and they drive you, they command you, they instruct you, they cause your whole attitude to be contorted, to be twisted, to change, whereby there was no reality or no understanding of what was right. And you became blinded. So I will teach them the limitations of Yahweh. I will teach them what Yahweh has prescribed. I will make them know or make known the statutes of Yahweh and His Torah. I will teach them Yahweh's limitations. I will show them the profound wisdom and revelation of Almighty Yahweh. That they will have the wisdom of Yahweh, the understanding of Yahweh, to deal with every aspect of life. This generation has no understanding of that. You don't see it in your sons and your daughters. You don't see a level of maturity. I know I do not in this generation. You see a mindset that is very fickle, that is not even a functional type of a mentality, because it has been besieged by things that are fictitious, false or real. That is why children have the ability, and adults, to sit before things that are so trivial, and they will spend hours before that. But when it comes to this profound wisdom of Yahweh, there is no energy to expend upon that. And the reason why? Because they have not been taught. It is almost like a drunkenness. It is one thing that professionally trained school teachers, they can look and they are almost right every time. Now, there are those that will squeeze through the cracks when they say, well, this one, you can sense that they will not have the ability to go beyond their own mind or the limitation of their own mind. And they are not wrong in that assessment. They make judgment about what? About character, by attitude, by personality. And they make those kinds of assessments. And they are right most of the time. Now, there are those that will break that ceiling and go beyond that expectation. But most of the time, they are right in their assessment. When they say, this will be why? Because they can see it in their, and what shines forth out of them. What is in them. And so in order for the people of Yahweh to understand the principles of Yahweh, Moshe had to instruct them or make known Yahweh's limitations and not entreat a brother or sister that way. You must understand what Yahweh wants you to do in a matter or a circumstance of this nature. Now, it is one thing about teaching, there are those that can be taught and those cannot be. You cannot teach a scorner, one that is depraved, that has no knowledge, a depraved mind, a mind that has Ichabod. You cannot teach them that. Sons and daughters that are consumed with this ignorant spirit of this generation, they cannot be taught, going to be taught. And they will never learn. And that is the simple truth. How do I know that? Because I see that in a generation, and those that came up with me, under the same kinds of pressures and circumstances, they are still living in that kind of mindset today. They have not moved beyond that realm. They have not. They still have the same kind of a mentality. You don't sense no maturity or no strength at all in them. And so Jethro, being a man that he was, Yithro, Moshe's avat-in-law, he instructed him and told him what he needed to do. In verse 17, and Moshe's avat-in-law said to him, the things you do is not good. It is not tough. It is not the best thing, Moshe. Now he's receiving this. The Moshe is the one that Yahweh had established to instruct his people. And yet here's this wise counselor, man that has understanding and understand the great detriment that Moshe is going to bring upon himself. That is what teachers will do. They will show you and instruct you. But this is a generation that will not receive that. A teacher will admonish you. And that is to indicate your responsibilities or to show you what is required of you. When a parent shows the child what is required, the child becomes perturbed in certain incidents. And they will say, I don't want to do that. And then the parent must use something very forcefully, must command them. And so what we have perceived as Yahweh's, it is not based upon our natural intellect at all, upon Torah instruction and how it is applied in Torah and how the principles of Yahweh's statutes, his ordinance, and his Torah was revealed to his house. You must understand that first of all. And then when the HaKodesh Ruach comes, he reminds us that these things will not slip from us. That the truths of Yahweh will not slip. That the law will not be placed behind your back. His statutes will not be turned away from. It constantly keeps us in touch with those things. And so what they call the Spirit today, it is, but it's not. It is not the living power of Yahweh. It is not the living power. Because the words of Yahweh, they are full of His Ruach, His Spirit, and they have life. And it brings forth the power of His strength in one's life. That's what life is. As Brother Jermaine was expressing unto us, and he breathed his breath, he became a living entity. He came in the fullness of life. And that is what His Word does. It brings forth the shining of His life from us. It causes us to shine. It causes us to delight. It causes us to experience that relationship with Him. This is a generation that is so ignorant. It is so unteachable that you cannot teach them the statutes, the ordinance, the total truth of Yahweh. And it begins with one thing. Moshe had to judge between the matters. And he would say, David, you are absolutely wrong. Torah doesn't teach that. The way you intrigue Randy. This is not how you do it. And he had to be reproved. He had to be shown his wickedness. And he had to be judged. You can never be taught, or your mind can never be opened to receive profound truth unless you're able to receive correction. And we don't want to receive correction. And the smallest of matters, we become very perturbed. And not that way. You worship that because you show what you are. You don't even measure up to that. How do I know? Did they judge HaMashiach? They call him a Beelzebub and every kind of superlative there was to describe some beast, did they not? Was there guile found in his mouth? Is there guile in your mouth? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, do I have guile? Come on, turn to someone. When I tell you to do that, do it. Look to your neighbor again and say, do I have guile? Now, when you get a little funny feeling, you know you got guile, all right? You got guile. That's why you find it very difficult to do that. When Yahweh instructs us to do a thing, when there is a knowledge and a truth in us concerning the matter, it causes us to shine. We want Him to challenge what's in us. You don't want what's in you challenged, because it revealed the draws and the darkness that's in you. So you don't want that challenge. So when someone asks you, when we ask each other those questions, we feel a little uneasy, because it's in you. That's the way you are. You don't want to be judged. You don't want the Mishpatim of Yahweh to be spoken unto you. That's the way you are. Because was HaMashiach offended when they call him a Beelzebub? Did he retort and speak guile? You speak guile without even verbally speaking it. You speak it by your body language and your emotions and your reactions. And that is why Moshe had to teach them. It is a generation that needs to be taught, to be instructed. And it begins with judgment. It begins with the Mishpatim of Yahweh. It must reveal what is in you. And so that's why we have in the natural sense, in the secular world, they have certain tests to determine your intellectual ability, your ability to comprehend. And they will say, well, David, you really have to begin at this medial classes because you need to come up to snuff or to par. And so what Yahweh shows us, He shows us that you're not ready for the battle. You're not ready at all. And we are people that are so shallow-skinned. We have no strength at all. A man that is of great strength, he knows his virtue and his power. So he is not offended when a man shows him he's equal to him in strength and power. We are very offended people. So he confronted Moshe, what you were doing is not the best thing. It may look as though it's the best thing, but it's not the best thing. He says in verse 18, he said, you're going to surely wear yourself away, both you and this people that is with you, for the thing that you do is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone. You can't do it by yourself. And you can never, brothers and sister, refine the things of Yahweh alone. And that is why He loves for you to be alone. He doesn't love for you to confess your faults or your sins. He loves for you to be alone. You don't want to deal with Him. He wants you to be alone. Just leave me alone. That's your mindset. You know, I walked with the children yesterday. I certainly enjoyed it. We walked down through the woods and on the sand piles. I wanted them to get dirty sand in their head and everything. I used to do that when I was young too. And as I walk with the little children, I watch them very closely because they're on the water. They get a little anxious. We throw in rocks in the water, see who can skip rocks and things like that. Very exciting. And yet you can look at the little personalities of the children. You can tell, it's amazing that you can look at each one of them and you can tell the little personalities, how it shapes. That's why it's vital to teach. That's why it's vital to instruct. That's why it's very important to make judgments. If we have the Ruah of Yahweh, we're going to make judgment. You that do not possess His anointing, you will not make judgment. Why? Because it begins at the house. It begins with you. at what Yitro showed Moshe, it begins with you now. It begins with you. You're going to mess up, and you're going to mess up royal. And he says unto him, he said, listen now to my voice. Verse 19. We don't like to listen to no one's voice, do we? You certainly do not like to listen to my voice. And you're not going to listen to anyone else's. You're not going to listen to your way either. He commanded Moshe, listen to my voice. And I will give you counsel, understanding, instruction. And Yahweh shall be with you and stand before Yahweh for the people. You're going to stand before Yahweh for the people. That you may bring the matter to Yahweh, these issues, these circumstances. And this is vital here in verse 20. Because this shall be the premises of what I shall instruct us in tonight. He said, and you shall teach. He said, and you shall teach. And you shall teach. You shall, Zaha, you shall teach. You shall teach them, first of all, statutes. You shall teach them the limitations or the limits, the boundaries of Yahweh. Yahweh, believe me, my friends, there is a boundary with Yahweh. Your carnal mind has no boundaries at all. Can you imagine some of the things that you have done? The things you have done here? No limitations, no boundaries. Brought shame upon you and dishonor, disrespect. But Yahweh says, first of all, they must be taught my ordinance, my statutes. There's a limitation to everything in life, our flesh, our attitude. He tells you to be angry, but don't sin. We get angry and we sin. We are vicious as lions. It twists our thinking. We can't think right. We can't function right. We don't know how to respond right. Because my feelings have been hurt. Your feelings are going to destroy you. Your shallow thing is going to destroy you. He said, first of all, teach them statutes and my Torah. And you shall show them the way wherein they must walk. Now, do we want anyone telling us how to walk? We do not want anyone instructing us what is right. The proper way to do anything. We do not want any instructions at all. He said, you shall show them how to walk. People today will tell you, I know the Lord. I've known Him. I knew Him before I knew you. I know you knew the Lord. But you certainly do not know the power of Yahweh. You do not have the strength of HaMashiach. Not at all. He said, you shall show them. You shall teach them. You shall bring their understanding up from the level that it is. You shall instruct them and show them what my statutes and my Torah teaches them. The way now, not some way, but the way, specifically wherein they not could walk, but there is an affirmative there, they must walk. There's a way that you must walk. There's a way that you must walk before Yahweh. There's no permissible way to walk with Him. There's only one way. There's only one set apart way. There's only one mindset, only one mind. You must walk in the way. So you must be taught how to walk the way. We don't want no one to teach us. We certainly do not want Yahweh to admonish us how to walk in the way. In order to understand what way to walk, you must begin with judgment. It begins there with the Mishpatim of Yahweh. He deals with the very integrity and the intent of your own hearts. He shows you what is actually in you. So you must teach them the things or the way they must walk therein and the way they must walk and the work that they must do. And the work that they must do. There's work that we must do. And they're the works of Ibn our faith. I was saying to my wife tonight, I was reading an article on Kundalini's rights. She works an average of 16, 17 hours a day. Doesn't leave much time for sleep, does it? She's up every morning at 4:30. And they did an article because she's 51 years old. I was very impressed with her.
51 years old, and they said the physical shape that the woman is in, it is a phenomenon. And how much physical weight she can lift, just beyond comprehension. For a woman that worked that many hours a day, to be that sharp, to have that physical stamina and the presence of mind, you'll get over quiet on that. Because it actually shows us, in that I'm trying to express the metaphor of that. When here is a natural woman that spends a great amount of time dealing with some of all the diplomats of the world, she does. Strange places. And what I was impressed about, she had flown for 17 hours, and then she was up 4:30 in the gym working out. That kind of work. And yet the people of Yahweh, do you understand? We are a very lethargic, sedentary people. A lazy people. We're lazy in our natural sense because we have no effervescence or energy for truth. When this is in you, it creates a fire. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. I cannot be still. And so our physical or our fullness of our being represents what's in our inward parts. A woman that works that many hours, grueling hours, they're very grueling. And to have that kind of presence, that's all right by me. I don't care if she is a natural beast, it's a wonderful thing to understand when you relate that and compare that to the spiritual realm. And we will look at those that say they have the power of Yahweh. Do you understand what kind of judgments she must take upon herself? How she must judge herself? She must judge herself to make sure she's ready, her attitude is proper, she's fresh. And so she must exercise herself to stay fresh. Now we must exercise ourselves in the Emunah, and we don't do that. Why? Because we don't want to be taught. We don't want to learn. And it takes something to remove that old thing that you have here that is full of arrogance and depravity. It is one of the most ignorant things and the most stupidest thing upon the face of the earth. It is haughty. And haughtiness is nothing but hatred. That's all it is. Do you all hear me? You that walk with your air, your nose raised, you haughty beast. That's a hatred. That's what it's a hatred of your way. As I researched that word out some time ago, I said, my, what amazing this is. How amazing. It's a hatred. And so we don't want to be told those things. He said, you must teach them how to walk and the way they must walk and the works that they must do. We must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so in order to understand that, we must know the limitations of Yahweh. And we must be taught them. We must understand them precisely. We cannot take them lightly. We cannot dismiss them the way we do. And we dismiss everything that Yahweh says to us that does not give us an advantage. Your flesh never gives you an advantage. It destroys you. It brings you down. It brings shame upon you. It causes you to rebel against Yahweh. It causes you to remove yourself away from the things that will bring strength. You understand that this man, he obeyed Yisrael. He obeyed him. And because of that, there was great strength. Restored to the house of Yisrael, he said, there are men that are honorable and they have strength. You put one over the 1,000, one over the 100, one over the 50 and the 10. When the matter becomes so extreme, it will come to you. When there's a dispute in Torah, when they do not understand statutes to the degree you do, then the matter comes to you. But these men understand Torah. They understand the statutes, the limitations of Yahweh. Do we understand Yahweh's limitations? And Yahweh gives us limitations in everything. In our homes, our marriages, raising our children, our relationship with one another. And we go beyond that, don't we? We can sit here with hypocrisy and say we don't, but we do. We go beyond the limitations of Yahweh. And the reason we do that, because there's no honor for Him. There's no honor. When a man is married to his spouse, he goes beyond the relationship of an extramarital relationship. There's no honor there. And that's the way it is with Yahweh. We have been espoused unto Him. We belong to Him. And we belong to Him. He must teach us. A child left to themselves, and we've been left to ourselves, haven't we? Because we want to be alone. You have taught yourself and you have made a mess. Well, I believe it's this way. You're wrong. Well, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. You're still wrong. You're ignorant. Even life doesn't teach you that. It is the stupidity of the people today. It's an ignorant generation. It has no knowledge of Yahweh's truth. So you teach the people the statutes, and we must know the statutes. That's why older sisters must teach the younger ones. Older men, it's in Scripture. That's what it is. But you get very perturbed when an older sister teaches you, don't you? Come on and say, help me, Yahweh. Don't sit there like hypocrites. You get very befuddled when an older brother tells you something, don't you? You get very befuddled. You become very perturbed. Well, who is she? Well, you know, you're very ignorant. To the pure, all things are pure. I don't care what it is, it's good for you. But to those that are defiled, unbelieving, there's nothing pure. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. So someone with that mentality, they're just defiled. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your son. That's just it. When someone has the pure desire to please Yahweh, then their whole conscience, their mind is pure. I was talking to Brother Michael before I came here to the tabernacle. But I said to him, there was one thing that Evangelist Hartsfield will always tell me, Brother Roberts, make sure your motive is pure, your desire. Make sure you have a pure desire. And so to the pure, all things are pure. But when a mind is impure and corrupt, there's nothing right. Even counsel is not right to them. Even instructions. Yahweh commands us. He commands those of a certain degree to teach others. He commands them. And when you don't do what Yahweh says, you're rebellious. Let me move on. I don't intend to make friends because I have a friend in Yahushua HaMashiach. All right? So if I cause you to become perturbed, that's all right. I like that. I'm a warrior. Scripture says in Kohiti, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. I want to read this. Now it tells us this, in Solomon. He says this, better is a poor and wise child than an old foolish king or ruler who will no more be admonished. A ruler being admonished to be to express warning of disapproval. That is what an admonishment is. Ecclesiastes 4:13. He said, better is one that possesses no valuable things in this life than one that exhausts themselves to high estates. He said, better is a poor child than a ruler or one that has dominion that cannot be admonished. That cannot be admonished. That cannot be shown or express a warning of things that are not right in your life. And that's the way we are. Are we not that way? We do not want anything that express to us those things that are not approved of Yahweh. We are very susceptible to flattery. We love that. Speak things that appease me. Don't tell me that I'm that way. Moshe must teach them the limitations of Yahweh and what the wisdom of Yahweh speaks to them. You see parents with tags on their car, proud parents of children or a child in secondary school or Kennedy Center, something like that. They're proud parents, you understand. They say, we're proud because my child is exceptional. Excellent student is what my child is. And performs quite well. Well, when one performs well, they will perform because they are receptive to teaching. We don't perform well because we don't receive sound doctrine. or sound instructions or disciplines. And so when we allow ourselves to be elevated with our own pride and our own arrogance, you cannot be admonished. You cannot be told that these things are wrong. They're not right. So it's better for one to have nothing and to be wise than to possess great wealth and to be a fool that cannot be admonished. And we find ourselves in the latter, don't we? You can sit here all pious and all religious as you want to. I find us there, all right? Now you can think you're exceptional, but you're not. Now Benny Hinn would tell you that you have special gifts. I would tell you, I find us in the latter. Because we roam in our own little kingdom, don't we? Our own little minds and our own little personal desires. And so with any kind of admonishment come, you, oh, hold up now. Well, sister, I'm not that way. You got it wrong. You're just a fool. You don't say you don't respond that way. Yahweh's talking to you tonight. You know, we could just recognize who we are and our shortfalls and our ways that are not conducive to our growth. We could grow a little bit. You understand? I'm not going to add another inch to my height at my age. You understand? I'm where I'm going to be. But I can grow exponentially in understanding and truth if I can be taught, if I receive the teaching. I said to my wife other day, we went down to Pastor Ambi, I said, most people can't tell me what Brother Jermaine talked about, but I know what he talked about. And I could tell her the things. Why? Because I listen. I don't care who it is. I've said to you all often, I've learned things from drunkards, people that were derelicts and had no, as far as edifice, of truth in them at all. And yet the things they spoke were still truth. Do you reject that? I don't. I don't reject it. It is still truth. Truth is truth. A good instruction is a good instruction. I don't care if it comes out of the mouth of a babe. It's still good. But because of our arrogance and our pride and our hatred for everyone, because we're haughty, I'm still nothing. Because of our hatred, we can't receive that. This is the truth. And whether you buy it or not, Scripture tells you to buy the truth or sell it not. Whether you buy it, it's still truth. It is still the truth. Now David, he makes a profound statement here. Look at this. In Tehillim 141 verse 5. And I want to go to Mishlei, Proverbs. But look at this in Psalms. Tehillim 141 verse 5. David says this. He said, let the righteous smite me. Now, we can't even recognize who's righteous among us. Why can't we recognize that? Because our minds are impure. We're defiled. We're full of corruption. Now, David said, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness or a pleasure. And let him, what it says then, let him what? Let him what? Let him rebuke me. Let him do it with great warnings. Let him smite me. That's what he says. Because you base righteousness on your own filthiness, it is just like a filthy minister rag of a woman. Who wants to touch that? He said, but let the righteous smite me. It will be a kindness to me. And let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent anointing. Now, do we receive any kind of smiting or instruction as an excellent oil? You rise up in the vindictiveness of your wickedness, don't you? And you seek out someone as wicked as you, that you may convey that to. And you take consult together. You consort together. That's the mindset. That's why they came against Moshe. That's why Korah, Abiram, and Dathan, they were able to do that because they would not receive the instructions or the limitations of Yahweh. He said, it shall not break my head. Teaching will never break you. That's what rebuke is. It is a form of teaching. It never breaks you. For yet my prayers, my tefillah, my prayers, has been against their evil. What David was saying, he was saying in that latter part that I don't want that false pseudo anointing of the wicked. I don't want that what they have. I want the righteous instructions, the Torah of Yahweh. Now you ought to desire that. That should be one of the most important things in your life, to be instructed, to be taught. I don't need no one to teach me. That is not what Yochanan, when he wrote that letter, that you need no man to teach you because with the Ruach comes. If that's the case, we don't need the words of Shaul. We don't need the words of Yeshaya. Yeshkel. We don't need their words. We don't need the words of Moshe. When he was saying the principles of Yahweh, the statutes and the things of life, you have been taught them. Why do you need someone to teach you that? One of the first things we learned in our Baptist, we're Methodist, the Ten Commandments, did we not? The mitzvot of Yahweh. He said, now the Ruah will enhance that what's in you. And we must be taught the same oracles of Yahweh, the principles, the first principles. Just even love your brothers and sisters. I want to tell all you brothers and sisters this. Love is not a coldness. I want to tell you that. That's not love. I don't care what you say. You don't have no love. Period. You have a form. But love is not coldness. You that are cold, and there you the city, you're cold. That's not love. I don't care what you say. You have no love, and you can't love anyone. Period. Yahweh is not cold. His love is not cold. He said, with it our heart are what? So you're one of those. If you're cold, you're hot, or you're cold. You lukewarm, he's going to spew you out. Let all love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I know a cold drink from a hot drink. You understand? When I taste it, I know it. So that's not the nature of Yahweh. It's not. And you can sense the coldness of one in the visitation. Sure you can. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We don't want to be told these things because it exposes the corruption in us. We ought to bless Yahweh because, I tell you, in order to understand his statutes, his Torah, it begins with judgment. In order for a child to be taught, they always test them, don't they? And they understand their level, don't they? So Yahweh show you, he tests you, and he brings us to certain tests to show us what's in us. So he brings you to a certain place, he speaks a word, and the word of Yahweh has been tried. Has it been tried? Like silver summertime in the furnace. It's pure, right? So he tests us with the pure word to show us our hearts are not right. They're not ready for the teachings of Yahweh. You cannot be taught. So he does that. And he begins with that, whether you accept that or not. That's why the matters had to be judged by Moshe. Look at this in Mishli, Proverbs 9:7. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Proverbs 9:7. It tells us profoundly what it says. He that reproves or teaches, instructs. Now that is what the word Zaha, it has those implications. That's what it means. To admonish, to warn, teach, cause one to shine, to send out light, to be light, be shining, to enlighten by cautious. Now that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm enlightening you with cautious. You need to be cautious in your ways. So it says here that when a man, he that reproves or try to teach a scorner. Now what is a scorner? One that mocks, it is one that is very arrogant. And one that despise truth because they're depraved. That's what a scorner is now. Bottom line. Don't you understand that when you shut your ears from hearing the truth, you are arrogant, you are scorner, you will do despite to the truth of Yahweh. It is one that is a despiser. I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to receive that. A wise man receives everything that is wise. That's why he becomes wiser. You did that. Okay. He still receives it and acknowledges it. Why? Because it's a health to his navel. He has safety and counseling. There's safety there. When there's no counsel, there's no safety. So he says that he that reproves an arrogant person, one that despises truth, he gets himself shame. You try to teach someone something that is arrogant and haughty, you come away feeling shameful. I know I do. Because the ignorant, the arrogant, they despise truth, they despise knowledge. And he that rebukes or tries to teach forcefully a wicked man, you will get yourself a blot. You will look like an ignoramus. You will look stupid if you try to teach a man that is a very wicked man. And he tells us, don't try to teach a scorner. Reprove not a scorner. Now, that's the implication. If you have a Greek lexicon, you look that word reprove up, it has the same connotation of teaching zahar. So don't try to teach a fool. Don't try to teach an arrogant, beastly despiser of Yahweh's truth. You can't teach them. He said, don't try to teach them, lest they hate you. When someone tries to teach you something, come on, be honest with yourself. They've tried to teach you, they've tried to show you something. You find this hateful, resentful attitude. Have you ever experienced that? Oh, I know you have. Now you say that you haven't, you're a hypocrite. You got this resentment. And don't you know that there are people that carry that resentment into hell with them? They resent well because they tried to teach them or tell them. Well, he wasn't right. How right were you? A wise man will hear. He hears everything and he becomes wiser. A fool does not hear. So you resent that. Of course you become arrogant. Very quiet. I like that. We can hear the crickets out there, huh? Because Yahweh deals with his house. Was Moshe dealing with the heathen nations or the house of Israel? He was dealing with the house of Israel. Period. And Yahweh has not changed that. Periods. Teach me, Yahweh. Show me. I want to know. I do. That's why I can listen to brothers. I said to Pastor Omdi, we went to visit him. I said, I want to hear. And I can tell you what he taught on. Sister Robert said, what did he teach on? I said, Sister, I can tell you what he taught on. He taught on set apartness. And he showed us what it truly meant to be set apart. And he brought it out in a very wonderful way. Everybody don't holler like me. He brought out a wonderful way. I listened to him. Why? Because I've learned how to be attentive and to pay attention to others. Because you will miss the most vital thing because of your arrogance. Hallelujah. And I said to him, I will not say anything. And I didn't say anything either. Didn't want to say anything. Hallelujah. I went to sit and to hear and to listen. Listen to Deacon Biddle when we got there and listen to him afterwards. Have no problem with that. Hallelujah. He said, you rebuke a wise man. If you teach a wise man, he will love you. You teach a little wise child. That's why wise children, if we listen to that Annie of Green Gables, the teachers love teaching her. Why? Because she loved to learn. She understood. Did she not even talk about her flaws and what things she's outgrown? Come on. She understood her deficiencies. She says she's learned how to accept whatever the woman's girl's name was. You understand that? And that's what teaching does. When you don't grow from that, when you have the same presence of attitude that you had 5, 10 years ago, you're sad. You're not even sucking milk. That is just like a husband and a wife being married. I don't care what the difficulties that they've experienced. The relationship should be enhanced day after day and year after year. And that should be a great attachment. That they should sense the oneness. That should be a great warmth for each other. They should sense that. And the relationships are just as cold as the ice water. Nothing there. No maturity. I never forgot. Sister Robinson and I first got married. We had a little problem. I don't know what it was. It was something very immature. We were immature. I recall visiting my brother. We were both crying because we wanted to do it right. And I never forget what he said. He said, oh, baby boy, now, you're all right. You're all right. You experienced a little thing like that or two, but you'll be all right. It was very trivial. But of course, we both were crying. It was a great repentance because I wanted to fulfill my responsibility as a husband. And so does the husbandman too, Yahweh. There are limitations in marriages. Are there not? He gives a limitation to the husband and the wife too.
And when a woman goes beyond that, she's arrogant and full of ignorance. When a man goes beyond that, he's a blind fool. He's a scornful man. He's an arrogant beast. When a woman goes beyond that and defies the statutes of Yahweh, she's an arrogant, depraved thing.
Wives, obey your husband in everything. He said that. Did he lie? No. His husband loved your wives. It's not a superficial matter. We may think it is, but it's not. It's not something that we shun and laugh it off. You better bring an indictment to our hearts to show how our minds are so corrupt. Yahweh speaks, doesn't he? And he means you to obey what he says. And the thing of it is, we're taking it so nonchalantly that, well, I did it, but that's all right. Before Brother Leslie died, he would always quote the scripture to me. Because judgment is not expediently, because they don't sense judgment immediately. The heart of the wicked is fully set to do evil. Because you don't sense no judgment, well, nothing happened. It's going to happen, honey. That's all right. You ever got in the way? Not one bit at all. You just dig in the pot of the hole deeper, and the cauldron is getting hotter. You understand? That is what's happening to you. And don't think one bit at all that you are going to get away, because you're not. What a profound truth here. It says here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. This is the conclusion of the vision of the latter times that Daniel, as Yahweh revealed unto him. I will read this quickly. He says this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall what? Shine. Now that is Zohar. Those that are wise shall be teachable. They can be taught. As the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that be wise. Those that are wise, they are the ones that can be taught. You cannot teach a scorner. You cannot teach one that mocks, one that is so depraved, their mind is so twisted, their parents that have children, that their minds are so twisted, you cannot instruct them in anything. Period. And you can't say nothing to the child because the mother and the dad is that way. The mother gets crazy, so the child gets crazy. Get quiet on me, huh? That's all right. I said I'm not trying to make friends. I have a friend in Hamashiach. I will do the will of Yahweh. He has set the pattern for me. And of course, he made many angry, didn't he? I want to do what Stephen did when he said, "You stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart, you're just like you, Avot, you always do resist the power, the Ruah of Yahweh. You're of your daddy, the devil." I want to preach like that. That's the way I want to preach. And so they that be wise, they shall be taught. They can be taught. Zohar. They're able to understand. They're able to grow. They're able to receive. The Yahweh gives us instructions what we must do. He gives us statutes. Look at what Shaul says to Timothy. Timothy, First Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. He says this to Timothy. Verse 2, to Timothy, my own son in the Emunah, in the faith. He said, the unmerited Ahava, the love and favor, mercy, and shalom from Yahweh our Abba. Yahshua HaMashiach, our master, our teacher, the one that taught us, the one that led us, the one that instructed us. He say, as I ask you to stay at Ephesus, I ask you to stay at Ephesus. When I went to Macedonia, look what he says to him now. He said that you might command, not ask now, that you might command some that they teach no other doctrine at all. He said, now there are things that have been taught. that I've given you the instruction that you command them and say to them, that's not right. Now, how is that applicable or that applies to us? Now, do you understand what little doctrines we teach or our own little pet peeves when there's something that is right in our own perspective? We teach something that is totally contrary against truth. So we find those that are the same doctrinal statement. The apostolics look for the apostolics. The Baptists look for the Baptists, the Methodists. So you look for some of that same doctrine. What is doctrine? A discipline that disciplines our lives, that we conform to that discipline. So you look for someone that has conformed to the same depravity and the same corruption that you have conformed to, that you may take solace in that. So that's what you look for. And so a wise person will command you, instruct you. That's wrong, sister. Brother, that's wrong for you to do that. And we get very perturbed behind that. Well, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't want to hear. That's a fool. I was thinking today, Brother Josh called me and said, Keith said he wants this to get ready and that ready. I said, man, Keith, don't tell us what to get ready. I know what we need to do. We're going to get the trucks ready. But then I caught myself and said, that's wrong, preacher. I called Josh back and said, where's Keith? Give him the telephone. I said, Keith, I tell you what. We're trying to get both trucks running. We'll get one running, all right. We have one right. But what are you saying, preacher? Well, because it is the nature of human beings to be arrogant. Scripture tells us to humble ourselves, to confess sin. So it's the right thing to do. So he said, all right, Pastor. Okay, everything. I said, okay, we'll get one right now. We'll take care of that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We don't have the presence of mind and the true rule of Yahweh because we really don't. You don't see you're wrong. That's why you must be taught. The song we used to sing, the walk I used to walk, I don't do that no more since Yahweh has laid his hands on me. You know the places I used to go, I don't go no more since Yahweh has laid his hands on me. Now think about some of the places your mind go. Think about some of the things that your mind is attracted to. They shouldn't go there. Period. Your heart, it shouldn't go there. Period. That's just the truth. It is the truth. They shouldn't go there. So what we must be taught, there are limitations. And that's what teaching does. True teaching shows the limitations, not this trash. These perverters of their Christian pagan doctrine. The Hens and the Robertsons or Roberts and the Pat Robertsons and all of these perverters, charlatans and shamans. That's all they are. But Yahweh has a limitations. He has a limitation for his people, and we must abide in that limitation. This is what he tells him. Now, he says, neither give heed, in verse 4, he says, neither give heed to fable or endless genealogy. Now, that's a thing today. You find it in what we call the white Yisraelite or the Hebrews. You find it in what we call the black so-called. Now, there is no correspondence between neither one. They all will use scriptures and contort them and corrupt them for some genealogy, and this is all it does, nor give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister what? That's all they do, disputing. They simply minister questions and doubt. You got the Hispanics that say that they are the true Israelites and the Hebrews, and the blacks are not included in that. You got the Arabs that say that they are the ones, and they all contort scriptures for their own natural fleshly comfort. And they're wicked as they come. Now that's all genealogy does. It gender questions or cause disputes. He said, rather than building of your emunah. That never builds the emunah, the faith of Yahweh. It doesn't. And so there are things that never build our confidence in Yahweh. We must be instructed and taught the statutes and the truths of Yahweh that cause our emunah, our confidence, to rise to the level that we trust Him. If you truly ask yourself today the question, you just truly, introspectively, am I really sincere and real with Yahweh? Ask yourself that question. Do you ask yourself those kinds of questions? But you will question that brother, that sister. Ask yourself that question. Are you sincere? Are you a hypocrite? Full of false baggage. Thank you, brother. Only one got enough courage to introspectively to examine themselves. We don't do that. And that's what teaching does. It causes you to examine yourself. That's what it does because it brings judgment. The true teaching of Yahweh brings judgment. He gave some teachers. They teach, it brings judgment. They will give you some pious type message that cause you to feel good in your corrupt nature. Are you sincere? Are you real? Is this real to you? Was it just some figment? It's boring. Has nothing that essential? I tell you what, you're going to die like a beast in the field. And that's the truth. I know one thing, I can tell you this, you're going to die. And that's real. And that's a fact, yeah. Ain't no doubt about that. You're going to die. How about that? Now that's real, isn't it? How do I know you're going to die? Because Scripture tells me there's an appointment and you're going to die. Let me move quickly because I want to finish this tonight. Turn to the fourth chapter of the same book. Now Shaul says, now I want you to teach these things and I want you to command these things. He's in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11. Look what he says in verse 11. He said, now these things command and teach. What a profound statement. He said, you command them and you teach them. That there are times that you must command. You command them and you teach them. He said, let no man despise your youth. Well, I don't want no young person telling me. Now that is such an ignorant mindset. The women that cannot deal with a younger sister because they think, well, she's my age or someone a few years older than them. He says to him, now he was dealing with the elders of the assembly. He said, let no man despise your youth. I don't care what they say about you being young. You are the one that Yahweh has established. He said, let no man despise your youth. He said, but be you an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in ahava, in ruah, in faith, and in purity. That there's nothing they can say. There's no accusation they can bring against you. Nothing at all, he says. He said, you let your light shine. He says, until I come. I'm coming, Timothy. I'm going to set this thing in order. He said, pay attention to what? Reading what of what? You all don't even read Scripture. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, do you read Scripture? Come on and say, look at someone. You don't even read it. He said, pay attention now. We pay attention to every kind of foolish thing there is, don't we? Come on here, somebody. Is that a command of Yahweh? That we pay attention? We pay attention? I want some of us, you're in law land. Some of you, your minds are so frittle and immature. He said, give attention to pay attention. Pay attention to reading of the Torah, to exhortation, to doctrine. Allow the word to be exalted, to discipline. Come on, you brothers and sisters. Condoleezza Rice works 17, 18 hours a day. Keep yourself awake in here. She works that, and then she exercises. She's a worldly woman. I'm impressed with that. You all sleep more than you should. That's why you have no energy. Hallelujah.